This morning, we want to welcome especially our brothers and sisters in Christ from Galilee Bible Presbyterian Church. They are tuning in together with us here at Nazareth Bible Presbyterian Church for our sermon reflection on this Easter morning. So welcome our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, our theme is from Golgotha to glory, from Golgotha to glory. The question I want to begin by asking us is, will Easter Sunday be just another day? Will Easter Sunday be just another day? So much of our conversation these days centered on the COVID pandemic with all the acronyms, name it, QO, SHN, LOA, MOH, MOM, MOE, WFH, that all of us are so familiar right now, and especially for parents, HBL. If you do not know what this means, go ask other parents. And we are naturally occupied and preoccupied with the crisis of our days because it concerns our life and our livelihood. Our passage this morning brings us to the days of the first Christian disciples after Jesus' tomb was reportedly found empty on the first morning after the Sabbath. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 38, 18 reported. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" It was the headline of that day. Everybody was talking about it. There were lots of sparks and speculation being forwarded and circulated like what we do today with our WhatsApp messages. And obviously, they were deeply affected by it. They stood still, looking sad. Was the empty tomb a proof of empty promises of salvation for Israel and for humanity? Will Golgotha be the final verdict? Amidst that crisis, the Savior Jesus appeared and entered into conversation with two of his disciples. They were blinded from recognizing him, much like what we have in the earlier days, the reality TV show, Undercover Boss. Perhaps he wanted to know the grassroots sentiment. Whatever the reason may be, when the boss finally reveals himself, his employees are taken by surprise. The same was the experience of these two blinded disciples. The truth of that Jesus would eventually unveil impacted their hearts and their minds. And what is that truth? The truth is here in this passage this morning, that Jesus Christ has risen in fulfillment of scriptural promises, for God is faithful. And therefore, let us live by faith and not by sight. Let's explore the text a little more. What is hope? We want to talk about hope this morning. What is hope? When and why do people look for hope? I look up the Cambridge Dictionary and it says, to hope is to want something to happen or to be true, and usually have a good reason to think that it might. Something good that you want to happen in the future, or a confident feeling about what will happen in the future. See, people look for hope when they find themselves in very dire situation. Their desires to be lifted out of that situation to a better position. Perhaps you have been living with certain guilt and you desire to be lifted. Perhaps you have done wrong to someone and you are filled with shame. Perhaps you have been wrong in a relationship and you're earnestly seeking reconciliation. Or perhaps COVID has robbed you of all that you have labored for. Are you looking for hope this morning? The passage here in verses 19 to 24 tells us that hope is found according to faith in the faithfulness of God. Hope is found according to faith in the faithfulness of God. Let's look to the passage. The first disciples were also looking for hope. Verses 19 to 24. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, "What thing?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yet, yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amaze us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." What is this passage telling us? The disciples were looking for a wonderful, a powerful deliverer. They were exceedingly confident that Jesus was that divine deliverer. However, their bubbling hope was dashed with his crucifixion, with his death. That death was even buried more when there was no sign of a return to life on the third day, as promised. They were looking for real and physical proof, Jesus alive in person, but they were saddened, perhaps deeply disappointed, displaced. Is there a right way and a wrong way to hope? The answer is yes. If you were to look at the passage in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, there is a right way to hope, and that is to hope according to faith. Romans 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or in other version, does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and the strength of that hope is in the faithfulness, in his faithfulness to fulfill it. We call this biblical faith. It is based on the character of the invisible God, not on the visibility of physical proof. Seeing is not believing. Seeing, in fact, is the absence of faith. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We walk by faith and not by sight." Are you looking for hope? passage tells us, hope is found according to faith in the faithfulness of God. And therefore, what that means for us is that we need to know that God is sovereign and faithful. We need to know that God's word does not need a guarantor in case of a default. Know that God fulfills His word at the right time, at the appointed time, at the fullness of time that He deems best. Not just in sending the Savior who died for our sins and rose for our hope of eternal life, but also in His providential grace to all of us. Will you hope according to faith in God? Now, as we move on, is there no room, we ask, is there no room for doubt to coexist with faith? Is there no room for doubt to coexist with faith? You see, to doubt is human. And Jesus understood that perfectly. He was not seeking to dehumanize us in calling for faith. Rather, He was calling us to trust in God's character while seeking understanding from His word to overcome doubts. And so when we look at verses 25 to 27, it tells us here that doubt is overcome according to God's promises in Christ. Doubt is overcome according to God's promises in Christ. Look at verses 25 to 27. And He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. There's this thing what I call biblical doubt. Biblical doubt. And that is faith in the character of God seeking understanding of truth. Faith in the character of God and seeking understanding of truth. But there is another doubt, what I call the carnal doubt. And that is faith in the rationality of human seeking to dispel truth. The first disciple wrestled with doubt. Jesus was clearly disciplining their carnal doubt there in verse 25. But at the same time, Jesus was exhorting the disciples towards a biblical doubt there in verse 26. Do you not yourself wrestle with doubt in your Christian journey? Have you not also wrestled with doubts concerning the central truth of Christianity? The resurrection of Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord. The way to progress towards biblical doubt is to seek biblical knowledge. Verse 27 tells us. Recently, I came across on a YouTube Chris Hadfield. Chris Hadfield was a former U.S. astronaut, a colonel and commander of NASA, who now teaches online masterclass on space exploration. And one thing he said in his promo video is this. He said, "No astronaut launches through space with his fingers crossed. That's not how we deal with risk. What I learned from 21 years as an astronaut is that the more you know, the less you fear." In the same way, no Christian launches through his spiritual life with his finger crossed as well. That's not how we deal with doubt. What I learned, and I believe many mature believers in our midst have learned, I myself from 32 years as a Christian, is that the more you know the Word of God and His character, the less you doubt. When it comes to doubts surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we must wrestle with those doubts according to God's promises. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Notice that the first disciple validated their discovery with the scripture in the law and the prophets. Again, it shows us that seeing is not believing. Belief comes from trusting God's promises concerning Jesus, who fulfilled them all. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him," referring to Jesus. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. Do we wrestle with doubts? Verses 25 to 27 tells us, "Doubt is overcome according to God's promises in Christ." What does it mean for us? It means we are to seek to know God's character, seek to know God's word, seek to address every doubt through God's character and word demonstrated and fulfilled in Christ. Will you wrestle with your doubts according to God's promises? As we come to the end of this passage this morning, ultimately, standing by faith and with hope in the promises of God must lead to living with conviction of Christ. Where does conviction come from? Verses 28 to 35, it tells us that conviction of Christ must be according to the Scripture. Conviction of Christ must be according to Scripture. Look at verses 30 to 31. When Jesus broke bread in celebration of the Lord's Supper with the two disciples off the Emmaus Road, both their eyes were open and they recognized the Lord. Furthermore, they both testified there in verse 32. "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Here referring to the Old Testament. We see here two things: the Holy Word and the Holy Communion. They are the two pillars that sustain our Christian faith and our Christian life. When the Holy Word is proclaimed and heard, the Holy Spirit illumines its truth upon our hearts, producing faith in God. When the Holy Communion is administered and received by faith, the Holy Spirit, through the elements of bread and wine, points us to the reality of Christ so that we remember His body broken for our sins and His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Furthermore, they would have remembered Jesus promising that He would drink with them anew in His Father's kingdom. And that means there is a future to look forward to and a hope to hang on to. Death on the cross is not the last words on Golgotha. The empty tomb is not a conspiracy or lie. And suddenly, the disciples found reason to live again with burning hearts. And when that happens, they went back immediately to Jerusalem and proclaimed to all the other disciples, especially to 11 apostles and the others. And they said there in verse 34, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." When hope is restored, people are driven to live and proclaim the good news with clarity and conviction. Indeed, back to verse 21, Jesus is the Redeemer. They had hoped that He is the one who is coming to redeem. But here now they are saying, yes, He is. Jesus is the Redeemer. In every spiritual sense, Jesus is the Redeemer, the Almighty Deliverer who liberates us from the bondages of sins. No principalities and powers could ever stand against Him. Did not the Apostle Paul also live to proclaim Christ and the gospel with similar clarity and conviction? One who used to persecute the church, and now when he had encountered Christ personally, he went on to proclaim Christ and the gospel with clarity and conviction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4 shows us that. There Paul says, "Now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Conviction of Christ must be according to the Scriptures. Will you receive the Holy Word and the Holy Communion with hearts of faith, hope, and also love for the Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has risen in fulfillment of scriptural promises, for God is faithful. Golgotha is not the final verdict. Glory is. And therefore, we are called this morning, on this Easter morning, to live by faith and not by sight. And that means to know that God is sovereign and faithful to keep His word and has fulfilled it in the fullness of His time in the Lord Jesus. That we are to seek to know God's character and His word to overcome every doubt that we have. And that we are to live with conviction according to the Scriptures. This morning, at the end of the service, we're going to be singing together the hymn, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." And I commend this hymn to you, that as we sing together, we sing with understanding, knowing what Christ has indeed done for us, that Golgotha is not the last word, but glory is, as it sits right now, at the right hand of God in His heavenly throne. Praise be to God. Christ has died for us. Let us now go and live for Him. Shall we pray? God our Father, thank you for the firm and clear reminder from your word this morning that Christ has risen and that now we who hope in Him and have faith in Him also enjoy life eternal. God, in the days and seasons like this, where many of us struggle with fears, with doubts, with COVID, Lord, many of our conversations are occupied and preoccupied with our fears and anxiety. Lord, this morning, as we remember what Christ has done, as we celebrate His resurrection, Lord, we ask that You bring us away from fear, bring us away from anxiety, and to locate us, our fear and anxiety, in hope, knowing that only in Jesus are we able to overcome our fears and anxiety. Lord, there is no fear in love, because we know that Your love for us in the Lord Jesus is perfect. Help us to live each day of our life with confidence, knowing that come what may, we will be with You in heaven. Father, thank You indeed for this wonderful news on this Easter morning amidst darkness that looms and the fears that surround us. Lord, help us to go from here to continue to be Your ambassador, to be Your witnesses of this truth. That many who right now live with anxiety and fear need to hear this good news of liberation, of hope. Help us, Lord, to proclaim this truth to them, knowing that Your love will bring them out of their own darkness and fear. May Your Holy Spirit be with them and speak to them. Dear God, thank You indeed. For we pray and ask all this in Christ's most awesome and mighty name. Amen.